Proverbs 1, verse 30. They would none of my reproof. They despised... I'm sorry, I'm not even reading the verse right. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. This is interesting, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to compare it with a previous verse, which says something very similar, only their words are reversed a little bit. We're going to see something interesting from that. So here the Lord is continuing his explanation of why the judgment has come on these people who have refused his words and despised his commandments and set them at naught. He's going to explain to them, he is explaining to them why. The reason for that the destruction came is the same reason that God had previously given in verse 25. Verse 25, he said, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would not of my reproof." So if you look at the two verses together, verse 30, "They would not of my counsel, and despised all my reproof." You see how they're almost opposite. The counsel comes first in both of them, but in verse 25, they set at naught the counsel. In verse 30, they would none of the counsel. In verse 25, they would none of the reproof. In verse 30, they despised the reproof. All right, so we're going to see when we define a term here that they end up wooding not and despising both the counsel and the reproof. And we're going to see that in just a second. So God here is showing himself wise because he heads off any objection that might be raised against him by reminding these foolish people that they were made aware of the consequences of their sin before the calamity came, and therefore they're without excuse. Because verse 30 is basically a reiteration of verse 25. So the Lord is just reminding them again, like he was there in verse 29. So like I said, when we compare verse 30 and verse 25, we're going to see that they despised and did not desire to have both the counsel and the reproof. Because in the former verse, in verse 25, they despised wisdom's counsel, and they didn't desire the reproof. In the latter verse, in verse 30, they despised the reproof and didn't want the counsel. And if we look at, where was the definition? I thought I had a definition there. Oh, yeah. To set at naught means to despise. And would means to desire or want. So when it says there in verse 25, they set at naught the counsel, it means to despise. Mm-hmm. So they despised the counsel and they despised the reproof. And they didn't desire the counsel nor the reproof. Now, I think this is interesting. This fits in very well that they despised and rejected the wisdom that was given because they also, the same types of people, despised and rejected the wisdom of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they despised the wisdom of God in the person, and they despised the wisdom of God that comes from God, that he, in his word, both. Because remember, Christ is called, it is said that in him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Colossians 2 and verse 3. And you remember the prophecy in Isaiah 53, the famous prophecy about the sufferings of Christ. And it says there that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So Jesus Christ himself, the wisdom of God, was despised and rejected. It makes sense that the word that he sends to men would likewise be despised and rejected. Now, on the other hand, wisdom's children, obedient children, they don't despise nor reject the wisdom of God or the word of God or the word of God that's preached by the man of God. They don't despise any of those things. Look at Galatians 4 and verse 14. Paul says here, "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ." So they received Paul bringing the message of God to them, just as if they would have received Jesus Christ bringing the same message, and they didn't despise nor reject him or this temptation in his flesh, whatever that was. Now, there is a direct correlation between not receiving God's words and rejecting God himself. And there's good reason for that, because God considers his word to be above his very name. Look in Psalm 138 and verse 2. Now, when you consider how important God's name is to him, Remember when people blasphemed the name of the Lord, they were to be put to death? There was a young man in Israel. I can't remember. Back in Deuteronomy or Exodus, somewhere in the first five books anyway. And he blasphemed the name of God. And they asked Moses what was to be done with this man. And Moses said to put him in ward until he went to the Lord and found out what the Lord said to do. And the Lord said, put him to death. He blasphemed God's name and God says, kill him. Put him to death. That's how serious God takes his name. The Lord says he will not hold him guiltless, which taketh his name in vain. But given that, let's look at what God thinks of his word. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So God considers his word even greater than his very name. And that's pretty high. That's why it makes me sick when I hear people blaspheme the name of God or when I hear people blaspheme the word of God. And I hear these kids on the bus sometimes, and it just really irks me. And when I hear stuff like that, and I usually put a stop to it, depending on what they're saying, but they know not what they say half the time. They're just,
And we think lightly of, like, gosh and golly, which are euphemisms for the same thing. And then, or oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And my friend was, oh my word. I mean, I still think that slipped in there because of the word.
It could be.
Anyway, it seems like all the things, it seems like they can point to God.
Mm-hmm. And I guess there's two ways of looking at that. And I've heard preachers make the case for either one. You could make the case that you're saying gosh and golly or whatever to avoid using the Lord's name in vain. And so that would be okay. Or you could say it's a euphemism and it really, you know, you're basically saying the same thing. So I guess it would depend on, you know, I don't take it as blaspheming God's name or using his name in vain because it's not actually his name. Mm-hmm. So it just would depend, I guess, on what somebody's conscience was okay with.
It seems like it almost get to the point where you can't say anything out of exclamation then or amazement, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard not to. Aunt Patty doesn't. She never, ever developed the habit of using any of those terms or anything.
Or geez. People say, oh, geez. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that's short.
There was a guy who used to work at Westfall that would say cheese and rice instead of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Something happened, which that was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But that was his thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can say, oh, man, or it is hard to.
It is.
Say, wow.
Yeah. So given that God magnifies his word above his name, when a man rejects God's counsel and his reproof, then he's really rejecting, it's tantamount to rejecting God himself. And we read about this in Psalm 81 and verse 11. Well, watch this. This brings these two things together in one verse. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. And it makes sense. I mean, if I had a child and I told him to do something and he just pays no regard, I wouldn't say, well, you've disrespected my words. Well, you've disrespected me, right? And not just my words, right? It's both. So God takes his word just as if it's himself, which is, you know, Jesus is called the word of God. So I mean, that makes pretty good sense. This is also true when men reject God's word, when it's declared by the prophet in the Old Testament or in the New Testament or the preacher today. Either one, if they're rejecting the word coming from God, then they're rejecting God himself. If you look in, I've got a couple of verses that'll just tell you this in plain language. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 8. Now, of course, this has to be nuanced because, you know, there's lots of preachers out there that preach all kinds of stuff. It's not the word of God, right? Either it's their opinion or it's their misunderstanding of the word of God or something. So every person that calls himself a preacher, or even every preacher that's a real preacher, every word that comes out of his mouth, clearly it's not like, well, if you don't agree with that, then you are going against God himself. obviously not. But if he's studying the Bible and preaching the Bible the way the Bible says to, and comparing Scripture with Scripture and defining the terms and so on, and he's giving you a proof text and reading it to you from the Bible, and you reject that, then you've rejected God's Word, and you've rejected God. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 8. Because I've had people tell me clear-cut things. You know, like when I told somebody, you know that you're going to get turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh for this. You're going to be put out of the church. Well, that's what you think. No, that's not what I think. That's what it says, right? So you can despise me all you want, but you're not despising me. You're despising God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 8. It says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's talking about fornication. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So when you despise the preacher for telling you to wait till you're married, you don't despise the preacher. You despise God himself, because God's the one that says that. Look at Luke 10 and verse 16. And you'll notice that's usually when people, when they come up against something in the Bible that they don't like, and it's preached, and the preacher preaches it, you know what they're usually going to say? That's your opinion. I'm sure you've heard people say, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. If I give you book, chapter, and verse, proof text, it's not my opinion. If I say God hated Esau, and you say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. Right? God chose some people before the foundation of the world, and he left others. Well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. It's not my opinion. It's not opinion if you're reading the verse. Luke 10 and verse 16. He that heareth you, Jesus said, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. I would say that people that despise the reproof from the Word of God better beware, because you're treading on the same path that the fools in Proverbs 1 were. And people that do that are going to meet the same fate that they did, and they're going to be made to eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And that's what we're going to look at here in the next verse. And I'll just leave you with this one in Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Proverbs 15 and verse 10. It says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. So it's serious business here, and this is what's going to happen to the people there in Proverbs 1. And that takes us to verse 31.